Good morning. Good morning to people who are on Zoom as well. It's good to gather here in worship from all our earths. So, welcome to worship. And I was warned that we had somebody who knows how to work a sound system up in the gallery. I don't think I was even told your name.
Eva.
Right, so I'm expecting wonderful things. And if I'm cheeky, most people on the desk just turn me down. So, anyway, good morning and welcome to worship. And I know we've got a couple who are here for the first time. And again, I mean, you will tell me your name and I will forget because I've reached that age. Well, I just let you introduce yourself. Not publicly at the moment, but just... I'm sure you've blethered to one or two folk. But it's good to be in worship. It's good to be able to worship Almighty God. But before we do that, Marion is going to tell us what is coming up.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our service this morning, especially if you're a newcomer or a visitor. Warm Spaces and Sanctuary Cinema. The church is open every Thursday between 1 and 5pm until the end of March. This week there will be a film, Fisherman's Friends, as the showing on Thursday the 8th had to be cancelled due to a technical problem. The next film on the 22nd of February will be What We Did on Our Holiday. The film starts at 2pm. Warm Spaces is funded by Fife Council and admission is free every week. The Walking Group. There will be a meeting of the Walking Group members in the manse this afternoon at 2pm. Scouting and guiding youngsters will be parading to church on Sunday the 25th of February for Finders Day and Thinking Day. Lent Discussion Groups. Discussion groups will meet at High Valley Field Church on Monday from 10:30am until 12 noon with tea, coffee and biscuits, and in the Irene Patterson Room here at Cairney Hill on Tuesday evenings from 7 until 8pm. These meetings start on the 19th/20th of February for 6 weeks. The groups will be using Jesus' Final Week, a Life Builder study resource, and all are welcome. There are further intimations on the printed sheet, available from the website or Facebook if you do not have a copy. For those on Zoom, here is a look at the order of service.
Let's turn to worship now. Our first hymn is number 130, Ye Servants of God, Your Master Proclaim.
Jesus,
dedicate our offering. Almighty God, we ask your blessing upon the gifts we present before you. Receive and use all that we offer to your glory in the work of your church, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And as we turn to prayer, Rosemary is leading us in our prayers this morning.
Let us pray. Heavenly Father, you are overflowing with love, infinite in kindness, and incomparable in glory. You are the source of all good things, and there is none like you in all our imaginings. You bring new life forth from death and offer us hope. In you, all things work together for good. Your presence breaks into our lives in many ways, and you touch us with wonder. In this time of worship, we offer you thanks with our prayers, praise with our hearts, and honour with our lives, this day and every day, now and always. May we be good servants and promise to live well in your world. May we speak with love and commit to the work of your kingdom. May we always be led by your ways of justice and peace. God of immense love and mercy, forgive us when we try to avoid following you. Forgive us when we ignore your calling in our lives. Forgive us when our busyness drowns out your still, small voice, as we take a quiet moment now to come to you with our own personal thoughts and confession. Merciful Father, for the love you have shown us as sometimes reluctant disciples, your patience in being with us at times when we decide to go our own way, we know that your hand is there for us as we stumble. Your gentle whisper reminding us that you will never let us go. For all of this and more besides, we join together now in saying the words that Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn 502, Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be. wonder how many folk here, when they get one of the weekend newspapers, if you do, immediately go to the television pages with the question, is there anything worth watching this week? In my household, very often the answer is there's nothing. It's rubbish. If we're looking at the TV schedules, there are two things that seem to really stand out. One is the number of what are called soap operas, and the other is the number of quiz shows. In the past, there were very few soaps, and people very often had their favourite, and they would watch one or the other and follow it all the way through. Now, with so many competing soaps, there seems to be an effort to advertise greater and greater crises and disasters for the characters to try and draw people in. If that is the case, they are not aimed at me, because I cannot abide them. But later in the service, we may talk about guilty pleasures, and I won't ask for your confession. Another big growth area is the number of quiz shows. Many of these now seem to have contestants who are already celebrities, and it's much more about comedy and entertainment. But there are still a lot of traditional type of quiz shows. Some of them have been going for decades. And there, the knowledge of the contestant is what counts. Sometimes we are impressed by the ability of an individual or a team. Sometimes, if you're a wee bit like me, you're very impressed with yourself when you get at least one answer right. Some of us are good at quizzes. Some of us enjoy taking part in quizzes. I have a suspicion that quite a few of us enjoy watching, but know that we simply don't have that kind of recall or memory. Now, this is where I've got to say, I have a friend in ministry who gets so nervous about preaching that all of his asides are actually typed in. This aside is not typed in because I've managed to forget something. I came into church saying, I must remember, because I will be asked when I get home, did you say anything about Gilbert and Sullivan? Gilbert and Sullivan takes place a week on Saturday. Oh, no, it's not a week. Well, I'm going a week on Saturday, but it takes place Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Karen is part of it, and if you would like tickets, Karen would love to hear from you. So, I meant to say that as part of the intimations, but it completely slipped my mind. Because I am not one of those contestants that you would be in absolute awe of, as they just seem to know everything about a chosen subject in a quiz like Mastermind. But what's really impressive are those folk who seem to know everything. That person who can answer every question and immediately. Of course, there is the other person who goes into panic mode, and I'm sure we've all been there. That moment when I know the answer and it's just not going to come out my head. And we can tell as the panic increases, they're getting less and less right, and of course the adrenaline just makes things worse. And there in the glare of lights and cameras with an audience present, it all just falls apart. In his book about the search for the wreck of the Endurance, Menson Bound says that one of the best one-liner, cut-you-dead questions has to be God roaring at Job from the storm. Where were you when I made the earth? As Menson Bound puts it, this is in response to Job whinging on about how badly he has been treated It's interesting that in the book, just a few pages later, he says of himself that he's an agnostic. And for an agnostic of today to have read the book of Job well enough to remember what is in it is really quite impressive. We are going to read part of the passage of the book of Job where he is caught in a place that is far worse than any quiz or panel show contestant. It's not the spotlight of television, it's the spotlight of God. Job is introduced as a servant of God. And the expectation within this book is that we understand Job's complaint before God, but also God's answer to Job's complaint. We're also going to read from Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, where he describes himself as free, but understands his freedom as responsibility. Freedom in Christ is the freedom to serve. This is the freedom of obedience. We're going to hear something from two servants of God. Rob is going to read to us from Job chapter 40, part of a much longer passage where God addresses Job towards the end of the book, and then a short passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Rob.
The first reading is from the Old Testament book of Job, chapter 40, verses 1 to 10, and it's God questions Job. The Lord said to Job, "Will the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? Let him who accuses God answer him." Then Job answered the Lord, "I am unworthy. How can I reply to you? I put my hand over my mouth. I spoke once, but I have no answer. Twice, but I will say no more." Then the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm. "Brace yourself like a man. I will question you, and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's, and can your voice thunder like his? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor, and clothe yourself in honor and majesty." The second reading is from the New Testament, Corinthians, chapter 1 Corinthians, chapter 9, from verse 19 to 27. Freedom and self-discipline. Paul's use of his freedom. "Though I am free and belong to no one, I have made myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but am under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do all this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessings." The need for self-discipline. "Do you know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Therefore, I do not run like someone running aimlessly. I do not fight like a boxer beating the air. No, I strike a blow to my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified for the prize." Amen. And may God add his blessing to the reading of his word.
We're going to sing a hymn that we sang, I think, for the first time last year. I brought it back from holiday because I'd sung it down in the Borders. The important thing is sing along and read the words. They're good words. This is written by Mark Redman, who is one of the better known writers of modern hymns. So we're going to sing, I Will Offer Up My Life in Spirit and Truth. That's hymn number 503. I am not going to ask for confession, but I suspect that most of us here will have some kind of guilty pleasure when it comes to the books we read for fun or the television that we enjoy. As individuals, we all have likes and dislikes that might come as a surprise to others. Sometimes we keep our eccentricities private because we fear what others might think. Sometimes we discover things about others that seem quite strange. Of course, we make assumptions that are incorrect because we categorize people. We use phrases like the innocence of children, the working class, grumpy old people. And of course, bikers in leather are always kind of dodgy characters. I did drive a bike once. We're less keen when people try to categorize us. For many people in our society, Christian has negative connotations. On the one hand, you can be regarded as a religious fanatic. On the other hand, Christian is sometimes used to describe a form of life where anything that might be pleasurable is regarded as a sin. Sometimes we try to hide our faith because we don't want to be thought of as some kind of religious nut or someone whose life is completely dull. Sometimes we hide our pleasures in life because we fear that the other will doubt our faith. Do Christians really do that? Of course, there are things in our lives that are wrong. There are character traits that we need to rein in. The faith we profess has a lot to say about confession and repentance if we are to know forgiveness and freedom. Just as we have expectations of ourselves and others, So we sometimes try to categorize God. This is who you are meant to be, God. Some of what we expect of God is based upon the idea of punishment and reward. How many times have we heard people say the good should be rewarded, the evil should be punished? We instinctively believe that God should favor the good and punish the bad. It offends us when it seems that good people suffer and evil appears to be rewarded by our understanding. I'm never quite sure that we get it right when we explain the difficulties of life and our difficulties of understanding God as well. God won't test us beyond what we can endure. Is that about faith? Or is it about excuse? Then there is that very strange book in the Old Testament of a man whose faithfulness is put to the test by God, only to be taken to task for blaming God. If we struggle with the predicament of Job, we are not alone and we are not the first. To most folk, this book is a real struggle to make any sense of. The one-liner, so admired by Menson Bound, is part of God's answer to Job. Our complaint or expectation is that God will be what we expect him to be. This is exactly what happened and still happens with Jesus. There is always the temptation to have Jesus conform to what we believe Jesus should be. He has to fit in to our parameters. Jesus challenges our earthly wisdom. Jesus challenges our theology. And particularly when we think that God is bound by our understanding. The biggest failing of which Jesus is accused in the Gospels is that he is far too human to be who they expect the Messiah to be. The biggest stumbling block is Jesus' humanity. He's not the Messiah the great and the good are looking for. He's not the Messiah that fits the expectations of his closest friends. He is not the Messiah the people are looking for. Oh, in some ways, Jesus is all of these things, but his humanity is such that he contradicts what everyone thinks he should be. These are your limits. And who are we to limit God? Yes, Jesus takes on our humanity in the fullest sense and understands us completely. But he is always more. In many ways, Paul is being true to Jesus when he chooses to be like those that he wants to hear the gospel. By identifying with those he speaks to, he is much more of a challenge than if he simply contradicted them. Argument very rarely convinces. To be with someone, to stand with the person, is much better. This is not about Paul compromising his faith. In that somewhat difficult passage to read, where, and just in case you're worried, the Greek is even worse than the English. Paul is trying to explain things, but he gets a bit enthusiastic and he forgets that sentences have to be controlled. So he tries to put everything in, and he says, well, you know what, I was like one who was a Jew to the Jews. I was like somebody under the law, but I'm not under the law, but I was with people not under the law. And so he goes on, and you can almost feel him scribbling away like mad. The freedom that Paul has is the freedom that brings with it responsibility to be faithful as a servant of his Saviour. What Paul is saying is not, he's not doing this because it's easy. He's doing this because it's hard. And he has to train for it. That's why he goes on to talk about self-discipline. The athlete, the musician, or any other expert in their field will sometimes look as though what they do is effortless. Effortless performance, be it physical, mental, or spiritual. But that is merely the tip of an iceberg of effort. There are those with particular gifts, and it might be that they seem to effortlessly get the gold medal or the quiz trophy or whatever it is, but it all requires a lot of work behind the moment of success. Our tendency is to believe that success is up to us. We get annoyed with ourselves when we don't succeed. And in terms of Christian faith, this psychology of success can lead us to believe that we earn God's favor. This inner belief that we have to have success and that in some ways success is reward and failure is punishment can lead us to believe that God should ensure that our success is part of life. When I was looking for a little quotation to go with this talk, I came across one from David Wilkerson, who is probably best known for his book, The Cross and the Switchblade. And he says this, he writes this: when God calls you to something, he is not always calling you to succeed. He is calling you to obey. The success of the calling is up to him. The obedience is up to us. And that very carefully puts us in place. We are servants of God. Where we are obedient, that's what we're meant to be. Success is in God's hands. When Jesus said to his disciples, "Follow me," their call was to be servants of God. The call to discipleship today is exactly the same. We are servants. Put a different way, we are called to serve, not to success. We are servants of the living God. We don't know what our service will actually lead to because we don't have the big picture. And when we question God, what are you doing, God? And particularly in these days when we are so worried about the state of our church, whether it be national, regional, or local, and we expect something of God, like Job, we were not there when God created the world. Our place is obedience and trust to the one who is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. And I wonder, if we're going to have confession, it should be me. I wonder how often God has looked at me and wanted to say, "Were you there when I created the world?" Because sometimes I want to advise God rather than be obedient to what God would have me do. So those words from David Wilkerson again. When God calls you to something, he is not always calling you to succeed. He is calling you to obey. The success of the calling is up to him. The obedience is up to you. Amen. Hymn 527. Lord, make us servants of your peace. Thank you. There is a great deal in that hymn about love. And if you had a little look at my Facebook posting for this weekend, you'll see that I noticed a little bit of a challenge for us this week. We have the beginning of Lent, and Lent begins on Ash Wednesday. But Ash Wednesday is also Valentine's Day, which means that we've got what in a lot of Christian traditions is the beginning of a period of fasting on a day that many regard as a day of feasting. After I'd done all of that, I got a little email from Elaine down the road who said, I've come across this poem. Would you like to use it? So here is a poem about St. Valentine. Why should this martyr be the saint of love? A quiet man of unexpected courage, a celibate who celebrated marriage, an aging priest with nothing left to prove, he loved the young and made their plight his cause. He called for fruitfulness, not waste in wars. He found a sure foundation, stood his ground, and gave his life to guard the love he'd found. Why should this martyr be our Valentine? Perhaps because he kept his covenant, perhaps because with prayer still resonant, he pledged the bridegroom's love in holy wine. Perhaps because the echo of his name can kindle love again to living flame. I also thought it was perhaps a good poem for the beginning of our prayers for others. Rosemary.
Let us pray for others. God of all, we come to you this morning in confusion and uncertainty, in hopefulness and hopelessness, in despair and with love, all in our human frailty. Merciful God, we pray for this world in all its brokenness and need. We pray for all who bear the responsibilities of government, that they might hear and respond to your calling for peace and reconciliation, justice and freedom from oppression. We bring to you all people in the Middle East, and in particular the desperate situation in Rafah. We continue to pray for Ukraine and for Russia. We pray for peace. We pray today for the people of Ethiopia as famine threatens, triggered by war and by drought. We continue to pray for the people of Chile, where devastating wildfires have claimed many lives, with many still missing. We bring to you too the state of emergency declared in many Californian counties and for all who are affected as a result of storms, floods and landslides, and for those who have lost their lives to the storms. We hold in our hearts all who are injured, who have lost loved ones, livelihoods and homes. Merciful Father, sustain and guide all who are responding to these disasters. Grant them the strength, courage and resilience to continue to undertake all that is necessary. God of blessing and care, we pray for our royal family, and especially at this time, for King Charles and the Princess of Wales, that they will both be returned to full health in the coming months. God of compassion and grace, we pray for our own communities, and we ask for your healing power for all who are awaiting diagnosis, who are undergoing treatment, and for all who bear anxiety, pain, or distress. We share the grief of people close to us who have recently lost loved ones. We know your everlasting light of love shines even in the darkest night. God of love and hope, give us voices which speak of your powerful love. Open our eyes to those with whom we live and work to see where there is need for us to reach out with your loving touch. May our words, actions and lives be living examples of your forgiving, healing, life-giving love as we bring to you now all who we are remembering in our hearts at this time. Loving Father, make us servants of your peace. Be the centre of all that we are, the light by which we walk, the blessing we bring to others. Through Jesus Christ alone, we ask all of this. Amen.
Hymn number 248. For my sake and the gospel's, go and tell redemption's story. Serve in the world. Go with the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.